Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Thank you for being here. I don't know if you had the opportunity to watch the PBS series, The Great War. It was a look at World War I. Again, the war we don't talk a lot about. World War II is always called the Good War, right? World War I is usually called the Feudal War, and there's absolutely no doubt about it. It was tremendous futility there. United States became a world power as a result of the First World War. The way we intervened to help resolve that conflict in Europe. But and we're going to talk about that a little bit later with Philip Jenkins, historian Philip Jenkins. He has written an outstanding book, by the way, called The Great and Holy War, How World War I Became a Religious Crusade. And I interviewed him at the Napa Institute a year or two ago, and I thought it would be good to listen to that interview. But before we do that, I wanted to go over some other aspects of this PBS presentation. Let me say, I want to make sure you understand, I loved it. I enjoyed it. But I don't mind telling you, I was also ticked off by at least one aspect of it. And I never understand why this continues. Look, the early 20th century, Europe and America was intensely religious. People were going to church all the time. It was a spiritual order. The whole social order. You've got the so-called Holy Alliance, which is part of the relationship between Austria-Hungary and Russia. And you've got the Anglican Church, which is a state church in Great Britain. You have intense Lutheranism in the north of Germany and in the Bavarian area. South, you've got Catholics. This was a very Christian country, a Christian continent. And the story is told as though Christian faith played no cognitive or moral or financial or military role in World War I. Come on. Look, we had Christian countries, putatively Christian countries, Christian in name anyways, and they were fighting one another. These were not just ethnic or national rivalries. There were ideological and religious conflicts involved here as well. But you'd never get that impression from watching the Great War. You'd never realize that Europe was, at that time, considered a Christian civilization. Now, at that time, is it, you know, again, 1914, 1918, during the war, and before and after, questions about Christian faith were rattling around everybody's brain. You had a scientific worldview which was racist and secular at the same time. A lot of people forget this. But the big champions of racism at that time were our intellectual elites. Don't think that this was yahoos or rednecks down in the South. They had a certain, you know, Jim Crow laws expressed racism in a certain way. But look, white supremacy was part of the pseudo-scientific racial theory of the day. You had survival of the fittest and social Darwinism. These were important ideas rattling around the brains of all these actors. William Jennings Bryan, for instance, three-time ran for president as a Democrat, a well-known Christian leader. He claimed that Darwinism helped, quote, lay the foundation for the bloodiest war in history. In William Roscoe Thayer, in his presidential address to the American Historical Association in 1918, right, just at the close of the war, he states, I do not believe that the atrocious war into which the Germans plunged Europe in August of 1914, and which has subsequently involved all lands and all peoples, would ever have been fought, or at least would have attained the actual gigantic proportions, had the Germans not been made mad by the theory of the survival of the fittest. Again, this is a form of what we call social Darwinism today. There was a conversation, in fact, William Kellogg, who was an entomologist at Stanford University, relates a conversation he had with a German army captain who himself had been a biology professor before the war. And this German captain told Kellogg that the war was part of the universal struggle for existence that would bring human progress through natural selection. And Kellogg made it clear that this man's ideas were not unique to him. the Germans, he said, for the Germans, he said, the creed, get this straight, the creed of the omnipotence of natural selection based on violent and fatal competitive struggle is the gospel of German intellectuals. Now, this is true before Hitler, by the way. I have a list in Dangers to the Faith. I comment on this. There was a great evolutionary ethics where the ethics of the survival of the fittest. And it took root in Germany, more so than in England. It took root in Germany. Now, Kellogg, who I just mentioned, William Kellogg, this entomologist at Stanford, tried to defend Darwinism against what he thought was a twisted application of it. Bryan, for his sake, William James Bryan, was something of a creationist. He was a pacifist as well. And he saw that the First World War was a confirmation that this kind of naturalistic Darwinism, secular Darwinism, was morally bankrupt, and it was dangerous. Now, look, even if Bryan and Kellogg and others overstated the connection between German militarism and social Darwinism, yet it was a real debate, and it was going on. None of this showed up in the World War I series on PBS. I didn't hear it anywhere. Darwin himself wrote, decades before the war, decades before the rise of the 20th century eugenics movement, he wrote in 1881, said, "Don't underestimate the role of natural selection in advancing human civilization." Quote, "The more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence. Looking to the world at no very distant date, what an endless number of the lower races will have been eliminated by the higher civilized races throughout the world." That was Darwin. He once wrote a note that natural selection is acting on the inferior races now when put into competition, in this case, with the New Zealanders. He was talking about, again, Australia, New Zealand. Richard Weikart, who's been a guest on this program, is an outstanding scholar in this area. He's written From Darwin to Hitler, Evolutionary Ethics, Eugenics, and Racism in Germany. Excellent book. André Pichet's book, The Pure Society from Darwin to Hitler. And then those are two. If you're interested in pursuing a more scholarly approach to this, the data's there. It just doesn't show up, unfortunately, in the PBS series. It sanitizes the intellectual history there because the intellectual elites, the academic elites at that time, had very corrupt pseudoscientific ideas. And, we blame a lot of the violence of the world on, quote, the lower, less advanced classes or, quote, races, or ethnicities. Look, the white supremacists had a strong intellectual justification going back to the Enlightenment, right up into the middle, at least the first third of the 20th century. Now, Phil Jenkins, in his book, The Great and Holy War, I'm going to talk with Phil in just a few minutes, The Great and Holy War, How World War I Became a Religious Crusade, he takes a look at how he does take Christian faith seriously. And again, when I say that, I don't necessarily mean the truth of the Christian faith. He's taking the fact of the Christian faith seriously and knows that various types of Christianity played an important role in creating and prolonging the First World War. This was a spiritual crisis for Western Christian civilization. It's tragic. And arguably, the First World War is the end of Christendom. I mean, for a generation before the First World War, Christians had been facing new intellectual challenges, right? Darwinian evolution, the rise of comparative religions, biblical higher criticisms, misapplications of biology. There had been, the sins of colonialism, imperialism, chauvinism, jingoism. World War I came almost like a judgment of God. It showed that Christian nations had never really learned Christianity. And so-called Christian reconciliation was culturally impotent. So it was a time, and we today should take seriously the great failure of Christian civilization in the First World War. Now, Christ Church continues on, but we ought to be learning from our history.